search the scriptures, guided by the Holy Spirit. So if you approach the Bible with an academic viewpoint, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to memorize this, my brain's going to do this, it's not going to work for you. It can't. Your heart's not in it.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Search the Scriptures and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Search the Scriptures is today's sermon, John chapter 5, verse 39. I'll be reading out of the ESV, John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures. Jesus is talking in this verse. He says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Father, I pray that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own. God, I also pray that you will open all of our hearts that we may receive your word today, understand your word today, carry your word forth and speak it, God, to the rest of the world. In Jesus' holy name, we give you thanks and we pray, amen. You may be seated. Search the Scriptures. Ask yourself this question. When you open up the Bible, what are you looking for? What are you searching for when you open the Bible? The Bible talks about God and salvation through His Son, Christ. If we search the Scriptures, we will find Him. But only if we apply these principles when searching. Understand that when we read our Bibles, our motive should be to find God. Because we know that God's already found us. But what about God? What do we know about Him? Well, the Scriptures talk about Him. Okay, so listen, when I meet somebody new, I want to know how interested they are in me. And not just what I can do for them, but on a personal level, what is their involvement with me? Oftentimes, we get misled by the world into believing that God is some kind of a genie in a bottle. That we can come to Him when we want to do something or have something, and that we can dictate to Him in prayer and worship what He's going to do in our lives. But that's not what the Bible teaches about God. The Bible teaches a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that as we search after God, we find out more about Him and the things that He likes. Now, in a human relationship, when you find out about what somebody likes and you love that person, you start doing things for them, don't you? When you get married, you find out about your spouse, don't you? Because, man, if you get the wrong anniversary gift, you're in trouble. The relationship's in trouble, isn't it? Right, guys? But seriously, when you love and care about somebody, you find out about that person so you can do the things that you know that they like. We're supposed to come into the Bible to find out about God, to find out what He likes and what He does not like, so that we may please Him. So that we may please Him. And guess what? Your reward comes from seeking a relationship with Him. It's an automatic reward. You will have a fulfillment that you never had before when you start serving God out of love and not out of duty and not out of religion. So let's get started. Number one principle is search the Scriptures diligently. When you're in a relationship, You just don't hunker around and try to find out something about somebody here and there. You diligently seek after that person if you care about them, don't you? I don't like wishy-washy friends, do you? I'll call you tomorrow, maybe. Man, either you're gonna do it or you're not. Don't play this game with me walking the fence. You either love me or you don't. You're either devoted to me or you're not. You're either with me or you're against me. Diligently. Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 and 16 says, "And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, and he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." Now listen, in the Old Testament days, those things mentioned were stuff like what we have now. Your paycheck's going to come in on time. Your utility bill's going to be paid on time. Your water's not getting shut off. You're going to have food in your fridge. That's today's terminology. And then it talks about don't be serving other gods. Now, don't think for a minute that you can't serve another god. The minute you pick up the newspaper and look up the horoscopes, you're serving another god. The minute you say, "I'm not paying my tithes because I don't have enough money," you're serving another god called money. You can serve other gods and not even realize you're doing it. The minute you turn on the TV and you start watching some of the shows like vampires and zombies, you're serving other gods. When we search for God in his word, we are seeking a relationship with him and not religion. God doesn't like religion. What is religion? Doing something to please God and that being your only motive. God's already pleased with you. God already loves you. You already have his approval through Jesus Christ. You don't have to do anything to be rewarded or awarded in that sense. My son doesn't have to do anything special to make me love him. I love him anyhow. Okay. So when we start searching for God in his word, we are actually looking for a relationship. See, I search the scriptures to know God's character, to know his personality, to know his likes and his dislikes, to get close to him, to feel his presence. That's a relationship that I'm seeking. That is what I want everyone in this church to be seeking after, the presence of God. When we diligently search for him, we shall find him. Now listen, God isn't easy to find in the scriptures if you don't look diligently. What, Pastor? What are you saying? That's ridiculous. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." See, God ain't playing with you. He wants all of your heart. Man, if you're in a relationship with somebody and they're just giving you half their heart, that hurts. That hurts. God wants all. And he says it right here. You're going to find him when you're looking with all of your heart. Listen, there is no lukewarmness with God. He wants you to diligently look for him. So come in the church. That's a good step. But it's not the only step. It's not all of your heart just to show up here. You have to pray on a daily basis. You have to read the word on a daily basis. Because listen, you all know as well as I do that if you're in a relationship with somebody and you only talk to them once a week and show up around once a week, you're not in a very close relationship, especially if you're calling it a marriage. When we come to Christ, he says that we are his bride. We're in a marriage with him. He takes that marriage very seriously, even when we don't. Even when we don't. God loves those who diligently search after him. You ready for this next scripture? Powerful scripture. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 8:17. God says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." Woo! God is speaking for himself today. Do you hear what God is saying to you today? He's saying that if you want to get to know him, you got to make an effort to do so. He already knows everything about you. He knows every single hair on your head. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. He wants to be loved and cared about and sought after. The difference between him and us is that he's worthy to be sought after. When you find God, you won't be disappointed. When you trust in God, you won't be let down. People will do that. People will let you down. People will disappoint you. And you can say to yourself, I wish I never sought after that relationship. But with God, you'll never say that. With God, you'll be thanking him. Thank you, Lord, that I know you. Thank you, God, that you opened your book up to me and the scriptures came alive in my heart and you revealed your word to me, because now I seek you and I found you because you love me. Principle number two, search the scriptures daily. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Every single day you should wake up and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? Where do you want me to be today, God? Show me. The first thing he'll show you is his word. You've got to get the word in you to get the direction out of you. Praise God. You got to have something in you to get out, right? Sundays are not the only day we are to seek the Lord. I love Sunday. We all get to be here. We all get to talk with one another and fellowship with one another. But listen, it doesn't stop there. If every day could be Sunday, if you get into searching out God every day, you could be talking about God, fellowshipping with people, praying, reading your Bible every single day, living victoriously with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you apply 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Not just when you get into trouble, not just when you get confused, not just when you feel like it, but continually seeking after him. So, you want to read this with me? Pray daily. Read the Bible daily. Fellowship daily. Obey daily. Seek him in everything we do. Praise God. These are principles that work. Some of you have been praying to God, I want to change. And the Lord says, yes, I agree. That change should start with you. But no, God, I want my circumstances to change. The Lord says back to you, you are the circumstance that needs to change. You're the one that needs to be changed. And when you make those changes, you will influence the change in your life. Because you will take the principles that I am giving you and you shall live them out in your life. And when you exercise the principles of the Bible, you exercise the authority of God. Not over just your life, but over the life of other people that are involved in your life. See, it's a trickle effect. If you sin, it's not private, even if someone doesn't know about it. So if you obey, it's not private, even if they don't know. See, you understand that the principles of God affect like a ripple in a pond. When you do something correct, it moves everything into alignment for a blessing for you and those around you. Number three, third principle, search the scriptures earnestly. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. In other words, don't be talking about the Bible if you don't know what you're talking about. Study the Bible, apply the Bible, and then you can start repeating what you read and start talking to others about it. But you got to be approved first. You got to have the word in you, and you got to be living the word outwardly before you could come up and start telling other people how to read the word and how to live the word. Otherwise, you're called a hypocrite. You got to live a clean life to handle the word of God. Am I perfect? No. Do I have Jesus? Yes. But where I'm not perfect, I submit it over to God and he's working on me on it. Search the scriptures earnestly. Searching the scriptures is no small matter. We should do it with devotion to God and with discipline. That means if you don't understand something that you're reading, you ask an elder in the church and they can help you. It means that if God lays on your heart to get a study Bible, you get a study Bible and you search it. It means that you pray to God, help me understand. Listen, if I don't know something about you, I'm going to ask you. Ask God. When you're ready for it, he'll tell you. Did you know that sometimes God doesn't tell you things about himself because you ain't ready to handle it? You couldn't handle it if he told you right now. But when the time comes and spiritually you mature, he's ready to tell you something. There's things about me that I don't just reveal to everybody because you wouldn't understand it because you don't know me well enough. There's some things I would tell you about me. He's crazy. He's out of his mind. But as you get to know me and I tell you, you say, yes, I can understand that about you, Pastor, because I know you a little bit better. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. There's things you don't tell even family members because they think you're crazy. Amen. God's the same way. He'll hold some things back. Don't get discouraged. It just means that your relationship has to grow a little bit. It means you have to be a little bit more earnest in seeking after him. When the time comes, he will reveal to you what he needs to. The scriptures are our lifeline to God. Understand, this Bible that you hold in your hands today, this is your life. This is not just your life here today, but it is also your eternal life and somebody else's. It could be your children's lifeline. It could be your friend's lifeline. It could be your spouse's lifeline. But first and foremost, it's your lifeline. Don't let go of it. Because you're in some deep water when you're in the world because Satan ain't playing with you. You think that you're playing with Satan, you can handle him, but you don't understand something about him. He is 24 hours a day seeking after whom he may devour. He's roaming the earth, roaring like a lion, looking for you. And when he finds you not reading your Bible, he says, there's somebody detached from their lifeline. All I have to do is throw them a wave and the ocean will swallow them. Send them a shark and I will sink them. Because you're in an ocean of sin in the world when you don't have your lifeline called the Bible, the Word of God, to direct you out of it. Satan knows this and wants to sever our communication with God. He wants to take away your communication with God. He wants to stop you from talking to God. He wants to stop you from fellowshipping with other Christians because they're talking to God for you. You come to church, you get prayer. Oh no, he can't have that. He's got to stop that. You read the Bible and you know what to pray to God. He doesn't want you knowing what to pray to God. He wants to stop that. He wants to sever that. That's your lifeline. That's your lifeline. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Listen to the two contrasts here. Satan wants to take away everything you've got. And the only way he can do that is starting with God. Now, God will give you everything you ask him that concerns growing, maturing, and coming closer to him. But Satan wants to start by taking away that first. I'll get them out of church. I'll get them away from Christians. I'll get them out of their Bible. Then I'll destroy them. Then I'll move in because I got their lifeline. He can't seek your boat unless he's got your boat. John 6:63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Didn't I just tell you this was your lifeline? The flesh isn't going to help you. When the devil starts knocking on your door and you start telling him how big and bad you are, he'll laugh in your face. You don't scare me because you threw your Bible out. And that Bible that's collecting dust is your lifeline. It's the one thing that the devil don't want you reading because this is the lifeline that a Christian has because Jesus says the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. God wants to resurrect your spirit. The devil says you're down, but God says I've lifted you up. The devil says that you are defeated, but God says, I've given you victory. The devil says you are going to die, and the Lord says, I shall live forever and ever. Amen. Every lie that the devil tells you, the Bible's got a counter for. But the difference between what God says and the devil says is that God is telling you the truth, whereas Satan is lying. And where you see a defeated Christian, you see a Christian without his word. Where you see a defeated Christian, you see a Christian not applying the word that he knows. Where you see a defeated Christian, you see a Christian without his lifeline. The Bible is your lifeline. Get it. Hold on to it. Yes, the devil will come even if you read your Bible. Yes, the devil will attack you even if you fellowship. But the difference is that you will have your shield and your buckler, and you will have Jesus, and you will have the word to stand on and the guidance of God to get you through. And you can laugh in the enemy's face saying, you could tell me all the lies you want to, but I got my Jesus. And that's the one thing you thief cannot take from me. I got my Jesus. And the only way he can take that fellowship away from you is if you submit to him and do not seek the Lord. Then you lose your fellowship in the sense that you won't feel God when the storm comes. Are you still saved? Absolutely. But being in a relationship and working the relationship are two different things. You could be married but live in two separate houses. Some Christians are with God but living in another house. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. Fourth principle, search the scriptures humbly. Everybody say humble. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You can't do good work unless you got direction on how to do it. You show up to your job, it's your first day, someone's got to give you directions. The Lord gives you directions on how to be a Christian through his word. But now listen to this. All scripture is breathed out by God. When we read, hear, or think about scripture, it is God speaking. Humble yourself. Get down on your knees and say, Lord, what is it you want me to hear? What is it that you want me to do, O God? It is you speaking and I am attentive to it, Lord. Humble yourself before God. He's talking to you. You think God wastes his words? Do you think that God talks just to hear himself? When God speaks, our ears should be open. This is God we're talking about. When he spoke, he said, let there be light. And look what happened. When he speaks, power comes forth from his mouth. When God tells you not to do something, he's not wasting his breath. He's trying to help you. He's trying to protect you. He's trying to love you. Humble yourself and listen to that. When he tells you to do something, the same. Listen to him. Listen, because God is speaking. 2 Peter 1:20 says, chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. When a holy man speaks to you or a holy woman, listen, because it is God giving you prophecy. When you come to the house of God and someone speaks to you a word from the Bible, understand that God is speaking to you. Now, you can shrug it off and say, that stuff don't happen. That's only in the movies. But I'm telling you, you'll be making a mistake, because God is speaking through that person. God is speaking through that circumstance. He's trying to get your attention because he loves and cares about you. And God speaks in many ways. Doesn't God speak in many ways? He can speak through words. He can speak through his Bible. He can speak through circumstances. See, not everything that happens in your life is something that you enjoy. But that doesn't mean God isn't talking to you in the circumstance. Sometimes God allows things into your life because he is saying, I need your attention. And I tried to get it when the party was going on, when you were running around having a good time, but that wasn't working. So now I've allowed everything to come crashing down so that I can get you in a corner and speak with you directly. Because now you're not having fun. Now you're paying attention to what I've got to say. Now you're diligently seeking me. Isn't it sad that it takes many of us, including myself, at times, to be put in time out by God so he can talk to us? Don't believe me? Go into a room of screaming kids, and they're having a great time. You can't say one word that they're going to hear you. If you pull one of them aside and put them in the corner, they might listen to you. But only if they've been in that corner long enough to understand they're not getting out until they get instruction. You follow what I'm saying? When God speaks, we should humble ourselves. We should stop and say, Lord, what is it you want to say to me? What is it that you're speaking to me? John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. All of them will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. When you hear from God, he will tell you, first and foremost, go to my son Jesus. My son Jesus will save you from your sins. My son Jesus will lift you up into righteousness. But if you don't listen to God, you'll miss that first step. If you miss that first step, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. You have to start with Jesus. He is the what? Author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. Last point. Search the scriptures. Guided by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Ghost. So if you approach the Bible with an academic viewpoint, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to memorize this, my brain's going to do this, it's not going to work for you. It can't. Your heart's not in it. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gets in you, he will talk to you about stuff. You can choose whether or not you want to listen to him. If you don't, you'll be grieving the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. But if you listen, you'll be walked right into a blessing. See, God has a path made out in your life for you to follow. And if you follow that path, you'll just stumble into blessings that he's already planted on the road. But if you don't follow that path, you're following your own ways. Now, the last time I checked, James didn't put any blessings on the side of the road. Okay? God put the blessings on the road he told me to follow. But if I don't follow the road God gave me, I'm missing my blessing because I went in the wrong direction. So I can't come to God and say, well, why am I missing out? Because you went that way, James, and I told you to go this way. See, the blessings are over here, but you're over there. You're not going to find something in a place where God didn't put it. Praise the Lord. You got to follow Jesus, and you got to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do that. The Holy Spirit always points towards God. So if somebody invites you to a bar, that's not the Holy Spirit. Come on now. The Holy Ghost is not going to point away from God. He is going to point towards God. And God is going to speak to you about Jesus. Of course, God and the Holy Ghost and Jesus are one, right? Revealed in three persons. Amen. So we're all dealing with the same God. And all three talk about one another, don't they? So when someone comes up to you and starts talking to you about something that doesn't line up with the word, you know that's not the Holy Ghost talking to you. But if you don't know the word, you could be fooled. An imposter could come along and tell you something that's not in the Bible and fool you into believing it. No one can hear, learn, understand, or even want the word of God without first being saved by Christ. Listen, before I was saved, I would pick up the Bible and look at it, and I wanted to put it down before I even had it opened. I had no desire for the word of God when I wasn't saved. It didn't have a taste in my mouth that I liked. It was boring. It was completely non-understandable. It was tedious. And it was offending me because it was telling me that I was a sinner. Who wrote this book telling me I'm a sinner? Why, I do good things. I'm a good person. Not in the eyes of God. I don't like this book, I said. But when I got saved, I became thirsty for it. Did you know that the Holy Bible is the one thing in your life that you can consume over and over again? And the more you consume of it, the more you want. If you stop reading your Bible, the less you read it, the less you want it. You can actually grow cold in your relationship to God the further you drift out to sea. And once you're out there, you'll be out there by yourself, and the devil will come and he'll send a storm and he'll try to wash you overboard. He'll say, well, he's been without the word for a while. He's been without searching for God for a while. He's not seeking after the Lord diligently anymore. She's alone. He's alone. They're alone. Satan waited 40 days before he went after Jesus. He waited till Jesus was tired. He waited till Jesus was hungry. He waited until Jesus was beaten down physically. Then he struck. So don't think that if you skip a word today or skip a reading tomorrow or skip church next week, that Satan's just going to come along and wash you. No, he's just going to let you drift along. He's going to say to you, isn't it good without God? You don't need God. Well, all that work at church, all that trouble sitting at church, boy, you could just sit at home on Sundays and sleep in. And then one day when the storm hits, you wake up and you're like, whoa, where am I? Isn't that what God asked Adam? Where are you? He wasn't asking where he was physically. He was asking where you at spiritually. Where are you? Well, I was hiding because I'm naked. He was exposed. The sin exposed him. And he was naked before the Lord without an excuse. We make excuses, don't we? Because we don't humble ourselves before God. We just say, well, it's somebody else's fault. Because we don't listen to the guidance of the Holy Scripture when we're coming up to God and we're excusing our sin. John 8, verses 43 and 44 says, why do you not understand what I say? This is Christ speaking. It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Listen what Jesus is saying. And understand that when you are talking to people who are not saved, you are talking to the children of the devil. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. This is Christ telling the people who are not listening to his word that you are the sons and daughters of the devil. If you're hanging around people who are not saved, don't you understand that the devil's gathering information to use against you? Every word that you say, the devil is getting information. He can't read your mind, so he puts people in your lives who are not saved so that he can get you off course in seeking the Lord. So he can blow you off course in seeking and searching for God. He will use everyone and everything in this world to destroy you because you are made in the likeness of God and he hates you. He's a murderer and there's no truth in him. Only when we search the scriptures do we find the truth of God, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saves us through grace, not of works, lest anyone boast. To seek the scriptures takes a desire to know God personally. I have a desire to personally know God. I want to know this living God who created everything. I want to know this God who reached down from heaven and gave his only begotten Son because he wants to spend eternity with me. I want to know this God. I want to know him personally. I don't want to know about him. I want to know him personally. When I speak of him, I want you to know him. I want people to hear from my mouth the character of God in such a way that they feel that he's in the room because he is. I want to talk about God in such a way that you get to know him because you see him in me. You feel him around me, and he is introducing himself through me to you. That's the kind of relationship God's looking for, not this mediocre thing that the world's teaching about feel good about religion. That stuff doesn't work. I don't feel good about myself because the Bible tells me I'm a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be saved by grace. And to do that, I got to know the living God who offers it through his word. I got to search for him with fear and reverence, knowing that he loves me unconditionally, but I have my spot because I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.